Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
How much do we need God in our lives? More than the air we breathe? More than the song we sing? You know, sometimes it's not the song we sing, it's the songs we're listening to. Sometimes it's those things that are going on in our lives that we're listening to more than we're listening to the voice of God. I believe we're coming to those times where the church needs to be strong in what we stand on, what we believe on, what we're prepared to listen to and what we're prepared to shut out. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles here, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. And we're going to speak a little bit more about that orphan spirit. You know, sometimes when God lays a thought in my heart, when he gives me a direction to share, it's a resounding thing. It's not sort of just over and it's a once off. One of the things I've discovered about God, he's an enduring God. And you know, when he speaks his word, sometimes he's got to speak it to us more than once for us to get the message. I don't know, as parents, whether you've ever had that experience. Perhaps as a supervisor in your job, perhaps, you know, in a position you've been given to do, you've had to repeat the instruction or the direction more than once. And I think we're just built like that sometimes, that sometimes we just don't quite get it the first time we're given it. Amen? So last week we talked about that nature of an orphan. And, you know, when the more I look at the word, the more I believe that God has not designed us to live as orphans, but to live as sons and as daughters. You know, this day and age, as we shared last week, there's billions of people who have been orphaned right across planet Earth, but not all orphans stay as orphans. Some people are adopted into families and they're welcome into that family unit. But in John chapter 14, if you want to go there in your Bibles this morning, the book of John, chapter 14, words of Jesus, he was getting his followers ready. What a loving, caring God. But he just didn't leave. He just didn't suddenly not turn up for work. He just didn't suddenly say, I'm out of here, Jack. He sat down with his followers. He said, look, guys, this is the deal. This is how it's going to happen. This is the benefits of what's going to happen. And, you know, you read John and just some amazing encouragement there to us all that his plan was coming to an end as far as planet Earth was concerned, with Jesus being here in the flesh. The Father had sent him, God had sent Jesus, the Son, with a mission. In the natural, it was mission impossible. But how many know that nothing's impossible to God? A mission impossible was turned around to make the mission possible. That Jesus came that none would perish. Jesus' plan, his purpose for being here, was not just to present himself as God's only Son, but his plan was to present himself as a Savior, as a source of hope, as a direction for reunification to the Father in love, that we couldn't have done without Jesus. Amen? And so in John chapter 14 and verse 18, Jesus speaking, and it says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. The Amplified says, comfortless, desolate, grieved, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. He had the plan. He said, I'm going to leave. It actually says it's to your advantage that I go. Sometimes we struggle to grasp that. Wouldn't it be great to have Jesus with us all the time? Well, where is us? With us in Victor Harbour, with us in Bradford, England, with us in Washington, D.C., with us in Manila in the Philippines. Jesus was the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. He had a season, he had a time on earth where he ministered the good news of the kingdom. Everywhere he went, he preached the Father and the Father's kingdom. Amen? And he was preparing mankind for a time that's spelled out here in John chapter 14, where he was going to say, my season, my time on earth is coming to a close. I'm about to leave, but I will pray the Father and he will send another comforter, another one just like me, and he will be with you, and he will be with you always. Scripture says, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Amen. Did you notice that when you're outside of Christ? Holy Spirit, really? Don't give me that stuff. Jesus, the Lord and Savior, come on. Have you ever met him? Really? Was he born of a virgin? Really? Did he die on the cross and come back to life again? Really? And we go, yes, really. Why? Because we've got faith in God and his word. So this morning, if we can just flip over to the book of Romans, because there's an amazing thing about Jesus, that his word always comes to pass. Amen? You know, God's word will not return to him void. God's word. Your word might return void sometimes. You know? Some horrible things we say about ourselves. Gosh, I'm really dumb. I know none of you have said that. You spend an hour doing something and then you read the instructions and you go, oh yeah, gee, I'm really dumb. You're calling those things that are not as though they already are. You're prophesying in your own life. You know, parents that say to their children, you're never going to amount to anything. They start to take that on board. Well, God's word works the opposite. His word does not return to him void. It doesn't come back without fruitfulness. You know, that they said of young Samuel, who became the prophet Samuel, not one word of his came to the ground. In other words, the words he spoke, they were profound, they were energizing, they were fruitful, they were amazing God's words. And you know, that's a great pattern to learn. So here in Romans chapter 8, we're going to pick up in verse 10, because the Apostle Paul gets the revelation of what Jesus spoke about us being orphans, and it comes to pass at the coming of Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit coming into Paul's life. And the first word in my Bible, in verse 10, is the word but. It might be and in verse 10, but it says this, but if Christ lives in you, I'm hoping today you all can say amen. Amen. Christ lives in you. Does he live in you? Yes. Amen. Good response. I like that. Then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. Your spirit is now alive because of Jesus. Amen. Where is Christ living today? In us. Amen. Well, we responded. Verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So if Christ is in you, then God's Spirit also is in you. Wow. Double bonus. Woo! I love it when I get bonuses. I love it even more when I get double bonuses. Amen? So then, verse 12, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, We're not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you'll surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, the Amplified says this, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Sons of God. All, everyone say all. Alos, all who are led by the spirit of the world. No, we've put the spirit of the world to extinction. It is no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Come on. That's got to cause a shift in your DNA. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead also now dwells and lives in me, look out, world, something's going to shift in Lou. Something's got to change, doesn't it? Right? The Bible's promise here, and I love it. Paul's got the revelation. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, now if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you can either let that Spirit lead you or you can deny that leading. Now, you and I have all done that. We're doing it less and less, I believe. We'll get that day of glory one day where we'll be just like Jesus. There'll be no sin, no darkness, no doubt. Nothing that's of the world in us will be like him. But right at the moment, we're being led by the Spirit. Yeah? Ever been led by a GPS in your car? You say, take the shortest route. You know where you're going, but it says turn left here, turn right there, go around the roundabout there, and you go, I could have been there by now. But when you're led by the Spirit of God, you're allowing the Spirit of the Lord to lead you. You're not going like this. You're going, come on, where are we going? Amen? But here's a privilege. Here's an advantage of coming out of state of being an orphan into that place of being a son, because the Bible states here clearly, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. There's an adoption process taking place. Verse 15, for the Spirit which you have now received, you have now received, current tense, not going to receive. You're not going to wait till you get to heaven and the Spirit of the Lord's going to just wash over you. And as he washes over you, your little wings pop out on your back of your shoulder and your little harp tunes itself. No, the gift of God is that when Jesus left planet Earth, according to John 14, I will pray the Father and he will send another comforter to you. Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And when that day of Pentecost had fully come, those who were gathered in the upper room, 120, heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. God's promise fulfilled. Amen? I will not leave you as orphans. Bye, guys. Acts chapter 1. But wait. It's not an ad for steak knives. But wait. In Jerusalem. But when he comes, you shall receive the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Wait. And then the fullness on that day of Pentecost, when that day had fully come. That day that Jesus spoke about in John chapter 14. The day when they're going, oh, he's been gone 10 days now. We've been waiting. He told us to wait. We've been waiting. And that day came. And it filled them with such power, such ability, such might. Amen? And they became sons and daughters of the living God. They became that church of power and authority. The Bible says that as Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross, the curtain in the temple split from the top to the bottom. The ground shook and the rocks split. The fulfillment was about to come. Jesus had to go. He had to die on that cross. He had to come back to life out of that tomb. He had to present himself to mankind, the proof that I am who I say I am, the proof that I said I would come back to life. I've come back to life. Now I must leave you. Like I said, guys, to your advantage, I am not going to leave you as orphans. Holy Spirit comes as the comforter. Holy Spirit comes as the third person in the triune nature of God. Holy Spirit comes and he empowers the church. Just like when he comes into you, he empowers you to do great and marvelous things. Amen? You're no longer an orphan. God loves you so much, he has sent another comforter. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. Let him lead you. Amen? I love this scripture here. Paul's got such a revelation of flesh versus spirit. It says in verse 9, but you are not living the life of the flesh, you are living the life of the Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, that is, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If he does not belong to Christ, he is not truly a child of God. That's the Amplified Version. You know what it's like to be an orphan? You know what it's like to be cut off from family? Because the definition of an orphan is to be lacking either a father or a mother or both. The second definition, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is to be cut off from resources and supplies. So here's little children. Here's perhaps children. Here's perhaps teenagers living in a house with mum and dad. Food on the table, warm bed to sleep in, hot water out of the faucet. You know, all those sort of things that we just take for granted. Mum and dad get killed in a tragic accident or die due to a circumstance or situation. There's no other family to care for that child. The government just doesn't say, well, there's mum and dad's house. Enjoy. Hope you do well till you get home. They take those children out of that place of comfort, out of security, out of that home of love, and they place them into care. Now, care can be really good. I'm not knocking the system. But nothing compares to the care of a mother and a father. And I know I'm speaking to some people here today that are having come out of a home where there's been a mother and a father. I get that. It's an unfortunate part of this age, and it seems to be increasing. But God's plan way back in Genesis chapter 2 was to create this Adam and this Eve to become one flesh, to walk as one, to father and to mother as one, to work together as one, to bring up a child in a place of security and love and warmth. God's plan. Now we know the devil's plan is to blow that out of the water. We know the devil's plan is to destroy families. But we have a heavenly Father who said, if you come to me through my son Jesus, I become your father. Benefit, you become my children. Amen? Come back to John chapter 1 with me. Because I really believe there's so many Christians that really don't walk in the fullness of what we receive when we're adopted as sons and daughters of God. We come to Christ, a little bit of that chair 1, 2, 3 business again. We get to chair number 2, and we don't realize that we are now children of God. We're sons, we're daughters of a king, an heir to his kingdom. Now, we don't have to wait for the Father to die, because he's not going to die. He's going to live for eternity. But his inheritance comes to us now. John chapter 1, verse 12, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, Jesus, he, Jesus, gave the authority, that is the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. To as many as did receive Him, Jesus. You had a privilege, you had a right, you had a power, you had an authority to receive Him and become a child of God. To those who believe in, that is, adhere to Him, trust in Him, and rely on His name. So as children, there's a reliance comes in that's separate from being an orphan. See, an orphan lives in a situation where everything is given to them by some sort of benefactor who doesn't have a love, a deep love towards them. The government's obliged to set up foster homes and welfare places. They're obliged to use taxpayers' money to feed them, to clothe them, to educate them, to make sure they've got a bed to sleep on. I nearly said a warm bed. A bed to sleep in. Sometimes it's not that good. To make sure there's food on the table, to make sure they get an education. But God so loved you that He said, when you come to Me, you're not to be a slave. You're not to be an orphan. I'm going to adopt you in as a son or as a daughter. And this is the exciting part about coming to Christ. Because with that adoption comes the same benefits as being number one in the family. Because in this time where, you know, the book of the Bible was written, the inheritance went to the number one son, the number one male in the household. So dad's aim was to produce children. His number one aim was to produce a son, to carry on his good name, to carry on his good fortune, to carry on the blessing, to carry on what he had built his entire life, what he had received from his father. So you think about this. You're living in sin. Your life is dark, it's horrid, it's anti-God. But one day you literally see the light and you come out of darkness and you come into His light. And God doesn't say to you, well, that was a good effort, Jonathan, but on your report card, there's a bit of stuff here we've got to deal with. I'll get back to you later on. Pam, I want to deal with you first because, you know, there's some stuff in your life that, well, you're okay, but you could do a lot better. Be like my son, Lou. He's pretty awesome. That's one of his problems. He adopts us immediately into the family as sons, equal with his son Jesus. Number ones. You're all number ones. It could sound gross. But we're all number ones. We're all A pluses in the kingdom. Come back to Romans chapter 8. This is so exciting when you get it because an orphan has a mindset that keeps them down. Sonship lifts you up. Amen? Man, oh man, if I ever get to my notes, it's going to be amazing. We're not going to do it today. Verse 14, we paused. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Verse 15 of Romans 8. For the Spirit which you have now received, you have now received. Everyone say now.
Now.
I hope you've all received the Spirit of God in your life. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive His Spirit. It's different to a full baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evident speaking in tongues. So every born-again Christian receives within them the Spirit of God, transforms them from the inside out. For all which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery. You know, Jonathan's not going to have to pay the price for his sin. Pam's not going to have to pay the price for her sin. Pastor Lou's not going to have to pay the price for his sin because it's already been paid. Jesus hung on that cross for all your sin so that when you come to Him, He could say, Pam, I don't even remember the stuff you're talking about. Your slate's clean. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jonathan, man, all I've got is your name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Awesome. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to the things of this world. Amen? Keep moving, Pastor Lou. To put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption. In parentheses, in the emphasis, it says the Spirit producing sonship. In the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba there is a Syrian word. It literally means Father. And the other word normally in there is the word Greek. It's just slipped my mind. Pepe, which means Father. So in this passage, Paul's actually speaking to the Gentiles and he's speaking to the Jews at the same time. They get it. We just see Abba, Father, and we go, oh yeah, Daddy, Daddy. But Paul's saying if you're a Gentile, come to Christ and receive that spirit of sonship. He's saying to the Jews, come out of your religious thinking, come to the Savior, Messiah, and receive that spirit of sonship. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. Let me read that scripture again. Because you've got to remember, Jesus is now within you. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is within you. Ever had a really full belly and you know you're full? You know, you're not feeling like just a morsel more? That's the way it should be with Jesus and the Holy Spirit within you. That you should be so full of God in His presence within you that there's no room for anything else. There's not room for a morsel of sin. There's not room for a morsel of temptation. And when it comes, when it presents itself, when it appears, you go, nope, I'm full of the Spirit of God. I'm full of Jesus. Amen? Because this verse actually sums it all up. The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, testifies with our own spirit, small s, assuring us that we are children of God. Now, I want to bring you back to where the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jesus said this, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. I know people that would struggle with that. They come from a father's background. They come from an abusive father's background. They come from a place where the father didn't love them, didn't support them, didn't provide for them, didn't teach them, didn't show them. And so to declare that God is a father is a difficult thing. What we've got to understand as born-again believers is if we trust Him, if we rely on Him, if we're pressing into Him, He's more than just God. He's our Heavenly Father. And I believe that was part of the teaching that Jesus brought in at the time so that we today, reading that passage, can teach ourselves our Father. I'm fatherless. My dad's passed away. I haven't got a dad in the natural on earth anymore. You may be in that same boat. You might have been brought up where you didn't know your father. You might have existed where your father was just not there. Not providing. He was there in body, but nothing else. You might have been there where your father exhibited such abusive things that you'll never forget that image of your father. And that's the battle today we face with people who don't believe in God yet, that they fail to focus on God as a heavenly father who loves and wants to give to his precious children. Amen? So Paul here is speaking to the church in Rome, but he's also speaking to us as the church of today. That when our spirit testifies or sits firm with his spirit, that we are children of God, benefits follow. There's benefits for the Father, because he's the Father of multitudes of children. He's got such beautiful daughters. He's got such outstanding sons. He's got this myriad of people that if they stop looking in the mirror and seeing themselves as the world sees them and starts looking in the mirror and sees them as God sees them, you'd say, wow, I'm not badly made, am I? I'm looking like my Father every day. I'm Jesus' brother, so there's got to be a bloodline in there that's bought me, that's paid the price, that's set me free, that's set me up for life. Romans 8, let's keep going. I might get to my sermon soon. Verse 17, no, I'm kidding. And if we are his children, there's that age-old question, that if word. If. Are you an if? Are you an assured this morning? Are you a chair number one or a chair number two this morning? And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, watch this, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. But what of that? Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. My father's passed away. I've received an inheritance out of his estate. I didn't get that inheritance until he passed away. But with my heavenly Father, the inheritance is now due and it's accessible. Everything that Jesus died for, the sin's been dealt with, paid in full, but the riches in glory through Christ Jesus are made available because we're sons. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer beggars. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer looking for handouts. We're no longer worrying about who's going to get more than me, because we're joint heirs with Jesus himself. Amen? Amen. With that in mind, I'd like the communion stewards to begin to distribute the emblems, please. Because now that you are a son, and from this point on, none of you can say, I'm not a son, I'm not a daughter. Because the scriptures have pointed out to you exactly what God has said about you through his word. Amen. And if you're going to argue about it, argue with God. Because this is his word, it's not my word. This is his Holy Spirit inspired letter to the church. Thank you, Peter. Bless you. So now that you're a son, now that you're a daughter, now that you're a child of God, let me tell you who God says that you are. Number one, we've just said it, I'm a child of God. John 1, verse 12. I'm a branch of the true vine, a conduit of Christ's life. You're a branch attached to the vine. John 15, verses 1 and 5. I am a friend of Jesus. John 15, 15. You're a friend of Jesus. It says, I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not understand what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have revealed to you everything I heard from my Father. I've been justified. I've been redeemed. Romans 3:24. My old self was crucified with Christ, and I am no longer a slave to sin. Romans 6 and verse 6. I will but not be condemned by God. You know, as you hold this cup, as you hold this bread this morning, know that Christ Jesus hung on that cross so that you would become the I am son, that you would become the I Am daughter. For as many as received him, they had the privilege, the right, the power, the authority to become sons or children of God. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When is it? It's available now. No condemnation. I've been set free from sin and death. What's it like when you get set free? You keep going back? You know, prisoners set free from jail, the prison doors open, they go, that was great. That looks better. Hold that thought. They don't walk back into prison. They don't walk back into captivity. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Romans 8 verse 17, as we said, says, as a child of God, I'm a fellow heir or a joint heir with Christ. Romans 15 and verse 7, we need to hold these scriptures. I have been accepted by Christ. There's so many people feel unaccepted. I go around this world and nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go and eat worms. Fat worms, skinny worms, long worms, short worms. Worms that squiggle and squirm. Everybody hates me. No, I know a God who loves you. I know a God who loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. You've been called to be a saint. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. In Christ I have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. I got four pages of the I Am's here. These are the benefits of no longer being an orphan, but being called a child of God. God just doesn't say, I want to round up this group of people and they're going to become my kids so I can brag that Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. His benefit was, I have many sons and I have many daughters in my kingdom to carry out the work of the kingdom, to spread the good news of the kingdom, to bring life and hope and future and something in people's lives that they don't have, healing and restoration. I am the apple of his eye. I am a born again believer. I am made righteous. I am saved through grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Amen? I'm a son. I don't think like an orphan. I don't behave like a slave. When I go to my father, I ask him as a son. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. That's my access point. Because of Jesus, I have access to the Father. Because of Jesus, I'm no longer a slave to sin and death. Because of Jesus, I'm a son of the only true living God. I am a son who can go to the Father, who not only hears my prayers, but he answers them. I don't go to a lump of rock or something carved out of stone or wood or made to look beautiful out of gold and silver. I go to the only true living God. And I say, Dad, can you help me? Dad, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. Dad, I want to tell you how much I love you. You can't do that with anyone except your Heavenly Father, God. Why don't you stand with me now? Sonship. As I said 2 weeks ago, if I'm going to be the bride of Christ forevermore, you can be sons for a day. Girls, it's that duality. The Bible talks about sons. He's talking about sons and daughters. Amen? Sons, daughters, children of God. There's no big brother. There's no little brother. There's no grandchildren. We're all in this together as children, jointly with Jesus. Jointly with Jesus. Jesus doesn't look down on you, don't say, hey, little sister, I got more than you got. He says, come up here with me. Come up here with me. Sit at the right hand of Dad in me. Have the things of this world under your feet as a footstool, just like I do. when the Father turns to the right and he sees Jesus, he sees you anyway, because you're made in his image. No longer you that live, it's Christ. When God looks at you, he sees Christ. But before we eat and drink, let's receive that spirit of adoption this morning. The spirit of adoption. You've been adopted into the kingdom of the Most High. The creator of the universe is your dad. He's your heavenly Father. And he loves you so, so much. Let's examine our hearts, and if there's any doubt, if there's any unbelief, please just ask Holy Spirit to reveal that truth to you today. Say, I don't feel like a son. I don't feel like a daughter. I don't think I'm worthy. I don't think I deserve. That's a pack of lies from the devil. A pack of lies. You're all worthy. When you receive Jesus, you receive the fullness. Receive it this morning. Take it on board and begin to live it. Begin to be led, as we read in Romans 8. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are called the children of God. Led by the Spirit. Let him lead you into that sonship today. Let him reveal himself in the fullness of his Father nature to you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, every day should be Father's Day to us, because you are the greatest Father in the universe, creator of all things, all wisdom, all strength, all knowledge, indescribable. Just English does not cut it. Lord, today we thank you for your son Jesus. We hold this bread and we hold this cup, reminded of that path that was made straight, that door that was made open, that rite of passage that was revealed to us, that through your son Jesus we could gain access to your love, to your provision, to your wisdom, to your way of doing things, to your plans, to your purposes. Jesus, we want to thank you for your faithfulness to your Father. You said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. And I don't say anything except what I've heard him say. What a great model father to son relationship we see in that. Holy Spirit, we thank you that when Jesus said, I'll no longer be with you, but I'll not leave you as orphans, Father God sent you, Holy Spirit, to be with us forever and always. For God, as we eat, we drink this morning, we acknowledge you as our Heavenly Father, as God, with the Son Jesus, with all these sons and daughters over planet Earth who believe on you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to lead us and guide us, show us and reveal to us, and assure us that when our spirit aligns with Holy Spirit, we're assured that we are the children of God. Give you thanks today. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's eat and drink together. Thank you, Lord. As you eat and drink this morning, eat and drink with a thankful heart. As a son, as a daughter, as a child of God. That's who you are. That's who you are now. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that as many fathers, grandfathers are honored in their role as fathers and grandfathers, or working as fathers, even though they're grandfathers, Lord, we just ask that your love flood into those families right now. Those who are hurting, those who are in pain today because it's Father's Day, Lord, may you reach out to them with the Father's love and reveal yourself to them as their Father also. those who are unwell, those who are not with us today because of sickness. We pray that our Father's healing power come into their lives. For those who are travelling today, we pray, Father, that you would send guardian angels with them to guide them and protect them on their journey and bring them back safe. For this week ahead of us, Father, we thank you that you're with us, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to lead us because we want you to, not because we have to. May you bless these people, God. May you reveal yourself every day in a new, fresh way that you are truly their Father and they are truly your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.